Well, good morning and welcome to you all who are here in person and to all those watching online at home as well. You are really welcome to join us as we gather together to worship God this morning. We're continuing our series looking at the questions Jesus asked. And the question we're thinking about today is, who touched me? As we think about the story of the woman who reached out to Jesus to touch the bottom of his cloak and was healed. And as we come, each of us, this morning, there's an invitation for all of us to come in our own situations, whatever our own needs are, whatever our lives are at the moment, to come and reach out afresh to Jesus and to find his transforming power, and to find his compassion and his love. So as we come to begin our worship, let's stand and just hear this invitation. Come all you whose souls thirst for the living God. We come in search of help and hope. Come you who are acquainted with grief or oppression. We come bearing our doubts, our wounds, and our fears. Come, you who are in need of good news. We come in search of joy, truth, and light. Come and find refuge in God, your rock. Let us again praise the one who is our help and our hope. So let's do that. Let's praise the one who is our help and our hope as we sing praise to the Lord. And Lord, we praise you, we worship you, we give you thanks for all that you are, for all that you've done for us. And as we come today in worship, would you meet us here? Would you transform us? Would you reveal yourself to us afresh? Would we know your presence and would we go out transformed to follow you more closely? Amen. Do sit or kneel as we come to confess where this week we've not lived as God wanted us to live, Let's just for, take a moment to pause, and particularly just to confess where we've drifted from God's ways. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And having confessed, let's just stand confidently and proclaim the faith that we profess and declare again our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And let's lift God's name on high and sing his praises afresh. I just invite you in the quietness of your own hearts to offer God your thanks and praise for who he is. You be seated, and we're going to have our reading, which Patience is going to come and read from Mark chapter 5.
The reading is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, starting at the 24th verse, and is found on page 1007 of the Church Bible. Jesus heals a sick woman. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He had said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just before Peter comes and speaks to us on that passage, Margaret's going to just give us a reflection of what it might have been like for that lady that day.
I was sick. Sick of body, sick of mind, sick of spirit. Fed up with having my hopes raised only to be dashed again. Fed up with everything. I'd suffered for so long. My strength failing, my fears multiplying, and I was ready to give up. To say goodbye to it all. To curl up in some dark corner and let life slip away. But then, suddenly, I saw him, just a few yards in front of me, the man they were all talking about, Jesus of Nazareth, prophet, teacher, worker of miracles. And it only took one glance to convince me that he was the answer to my prayers. Yes, I was desperate, admittedly, ready to believe anything, clutch at any straw. But there was more to it than that. For I could see immediately that this man was unique. Everything about him proclaiming his love for others. So I pushed my way through the crowds and I reached out and I touched him. Just the faintest of contacts, that's all. Yet immediately I felt whole again. A knowledge deep within me that I was well. But before I had time to celebrate, I froze in horror. For he stopped. He turned and looked around curiously, eyes sweeping over the crowd. Goodness knows how he'd felt my touch amongst so many, but he had. And I realized then the awfulness of what I'd done, breaking every commandment in the book by touching him in my condition. I waited for the rebuke, the explosion of anger which would shatter my illusions. Yet it never came. Just that one simple question. Who touched me? There was no escape. Much as I longed to melt away into the crowd, I knew there would be no deceiving this man. So I shambled forward and blurted out the whole story, pleading for forgiveness, begging him to make allowances. I still feared the worst. But finally, I dared to meet his eyes. And there he was, gently returning my gaze, a look of love and understanding which I shall never forget. "Daughter," he said, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." It was true, the disease had gone. But there was much more than that. Much, much more. I'd found new meaning, new hope, new purpose. Strength which I'd never known before. Peace such as I'd never imagined possible. He sensed my need that day before I even expressed it, responding instinctively to my silent plea. And I'm whole now, whole in body, whole in mind, whole in spirit, ready for whatever life might bring, ready for anything.
If you took all that in, there's really no need. You can switch off for the next 10 minutes because I don't think I'm going to say anything more profound than that. And of course, you're looking and you're thinking, when he's up front, he always wears a decent shirt and a tie and a jacket. And here he is. Well, consider this to be a notice of a visual sort, just to remind you that it's the village fete today. And we do have a church presence down at that village fete, down at, on Assarts. And it would be good to see you there to join us as we take the church out to the people. If you think about St. Paul, he didn't just go and sit in churches or synagogues as he would have had. He went to take Jesus to where the people were. And if you can get down to join us at the fete, that's brilliant. If you can't, just pray that those of us who are there may take Jesus down to where the people are. And those of you who read the small print may have noticed that that first song, "Praise to the Lord the Almighty," was written by a guy called Joachim Neander a long time ago, 1500s. And you think, Joachim, now that sounds like a good biblical name, doesn't it? Here is the news. You will not find the name Joachim anywhere in the Bible. However, if you want to know why on earth somebody should call their son Joachim, the answer is that there is a tradition that Joachim and Anna are actually, or were actually, the father and mother of the Virgin Mary. So there you are. I just throw that one in so that if you meet a Joachim, you can say, ah, yes, now I know why you were called Joachim. Not in the Bible, but traditionally the father of Mary. None of that was in the notes, so we better get on with the sermon. Here we go. How are you at packing to go away? Are you good at it? Or does it never really work? Do you take too much? Do you get there and find you've taken too little or the wrong things? When I was a little boy, we used to go away every Easter to stay with relatives. And this seemed to cause my mother a lot of stress. Not because she didn't like the relatives, she did, but Is it going to be hot or cold? Do I need to take summery things or wintry things? 'Cause Easter you never know. And then, of course, are they going to want to take us out somewhere posh, or will it all be casual? And I'd better take this and that and the other, just in case. We were only going for 4 days. But by the time she'd covered all possible eventualities, the boot of the car was filled and half the back seat was filled as well, and my sister and I had to squeeze into what was left. People are always very different when it comes to packing to go away. We noticed the difference when our children went off to university. Kate obviously believed that we owned a removal van. She obviously thought she was going to university for life, and you just couldn't believe how much stuff she thought she ought to take. A couple of years later, son James went off to university, and he seemed to just sling a holdall on the back seat. Much easier. But there we are. Actually, Kate is getting paid back for all that by her own children. She gave her 3 and her 5-year-old their own bag to pack to come and stay with us over the summer. So they packed all the essentials, books, dolls, toys. Not a thought of the optional extras like changes of clothes or toothbrushes and things like that. So there you go. We're all different. And it's the same at airports. Here we go. Some of us think we can travel light. I'm always amazed at those people at airports who think they can get on the plane just with a carry-on bag. But at the other side of that, there are those people who are weighed down with everything, who seem to, you look at them and you think, you aren't going on holiday, you must be emigrating for life with all that lot. And they are weighed down by the baggage that they take. And I guess we're all weighed down by baggage. And some of us think we're just standing in the middle of that lot saying, can all this baggage be mine, and how can I possibly manage it, and how's it going to go? And then, of course, we reflect on just how much baggage do you and I carry. Yes, we meet people and they say, how are you? And you say, oh, I'm fine. And deep down inside, we know that we're not fine. But they don't really want to know anyway, do they? If you really told people how you felt when they said, how are you? Now, I don't think it would work. They may ask, but they don't really want to know. And then we look at this woman in today's passage that we read. It's a passage that I'm sure you may be well familiar with. You know that it comes in the middle of a bigger story, that the leader of one of the synagogues had come to Jesus and said, look, my daughter's dying. Can you come and help her? And so at the beginning of our reading, we got those words, so Jesus went with him. That's really part of the other story, that Jesus went with Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, an important person. And the crowd followed to see where he was going with this important person. And then we have today's story. And then, of course, we know that Jesus then goes on to visit the house of Jairus. So, what baggage did this woman bring? It's almost beyond imagining the trouble that she'd had and the trouble that she was in. She had all sorts of problems. She had the physical baggage of constant bleeding, of the constant needing to wash, to clean, to change clothes, to worry if it had all leaked out. Yes, she had a serious physical baggage that she'd been carrying, we're told, for 12 years. But, you know, that was actually the least of her problems. You see, she was also a Jew. And as a Jew, she was subject to all the rites, all the laws of the Old Testament. You can read about it in Leviticus 15 if you really feel an urge to do so. But it was all very clear that she had a lot of baggage to carry. Amongst other things, of course, the purpose of women in those days was to have children. And the one thing she couldn't do was have children. So she was written off. The cultural baggage said she was a nobody because she couldn't do what was expected of women. And that, of course, brought along with it a lot of other things. It meant that she had emotional baggage. You see, anyone who touched her would become ritually unclean. Anything she touched would become ritually unclean. If you sat where she had sat, you would become ritually unclean. So people would shun her. People would want to keep away from her. People would really not want to know. She would become emotionally isolated from society. She would not be able to form relationships. She was a social outcast, so she carried along a lot of social baggage as well. People would be saying, "Don't go near her, she's unclean, she'll make you unclean." And the doctors hadn't a clue what to do about it. And that, of course, made it worse because they just fleeced her of her money. And poverty became inevitable. She had economic baggage to carry. It was, without doubt, a hopeless situation. Do we have hopeless situations? Ours are probably very different from hers. Maybe there are habits that we can't break. Maybe there are people that we can't forgive. Maybe there are things over which, more importantly, we can't forgive ourselves. Maybe we have relationships which seem to have moved beyond reconciliation, and there are all sorts of feelings of guilt. And it's a hopeless situation. Well, here is some good news, folks. With Jesus, nothing but nothing is hopeless. This was the last chance for this woman. Here we go. I must get near to Jesus. Oh, dear. I don't want to be recognized. If people see it's me, they will drive me away. People will be scared that I might touch them and make them unclean. So I don't want to be recognized. I just need to get close. I just need to touch him, and then I'll creep away. And she did touch him, and she felt better. But then she got exposed. And how would Jesus react? She had just made him unclean. By touching him, she may have been healed, but he was unclean. If he was unclean, should he go to the house of a synagogue ruler? Would he make that house and all its people unclean? Would he make everyone there, the leader of the synagogue, ritually unclean? How on earth would Jesus react if she had done that to him? Her uncleanness was placed on Jesus. And yet, you know, our problems our hopeless situations, our uncleanness, Jesus took upon himself on the cross. All our uncleanness has also been placed on Jesus. There it was on the cross, yours and mine. But the good news again is that Jesus rose from the dead, because with Jesus nothing is hopeless, and he was able to take all our uncleanness, and he is able to make each one of us clean. And Jesus' reaction to the woman was astounding. First of all, he doesn't blame her for making him ritually unclean. He doesn't call her woman. He calls her daughter. I wonder when she last had that sort of loving encounter with someone talking to her like that. There's no record of him addressing anyone else in the Gospels in that way. And he heals beyond the physical. But he knew that that physical healing was only the start. It wasn't even half the job done. It was just the first bit of the job done. And you see, where we carry all that baggage, Jesus not only brings to her and to us physical healing, but he will bring cultural healing. He will get us through what society expects of us. He will bring emotional healing. He will bring social healing. And he will bring economic healing to each of us, as he was able to do for that woman. He builds her faith. He promises peace. He frees us from all the baggage that she was carrying, whether social or religious or emotional or spiritual, all that baggage he was able to cure. And what of us? Some of us may have heavy baggage. Some of us may think that we're traveling light, just a carry-on bag to the aircraft. But none of us are totally baggage-free. And sometimes we think it's baggage we just can't put down. George Bernard Shaw actually said, people become attached to their burdens sometimes a lot more than their burdens are attached to them. And I think we could take the word burdens and put baggage in its place. People become attached to their baggage sometimes more than the baggage is attached to them. Perhaps in some of what I've said, you can identify a piece of your own baggage. I certainly identified some of mine as I worked through what I might say this morning. In a few moments of silence, let's just bring our individual baggage to Jesus and hear him say, nothing is hopeless. You are my child. Go in peace. Friends, we may think we have a lot of baggage and we can't possibly know how to carry it. But Jesus says, go in peace. Be freed from your baggage.
Let's just stay for a few moments in that quiet place. And you might like to just hold out your hands as a way of reaching out to Jesus. Maybe for you, for something for you. Maybe actually on behalf of somebody else this morning. And that woman had to put aside her shame. Had to take courage to step out and reach out for Jesus. That's the first step, us reaching out for Jesus. So I just encourage you to reach out, whatever that means to you. Speak honestly to Jesus of what you need to tell him right now. And be open to his healing presence.
Rest in your presence. No.
I just feel it's appropriate if we just have just a few moments of our own silent prayer. It feels such a powerful morning this morning. So I just invite you just to stay in the moment, just for a little bit longer. Lord, we come before you in prayer, and we bring all of our fears and our worries to you and lay them at your feet. Help us, Lord, when we're too busy to see you, waiting for us to come and sit with you. And Lord, we ask that you will help us to see what you are asking from each one of us today. What do you want us to do, to bring, to say? You have a plan for each of our lives, all the way through from day one to the very end. We are your children, we are your servants. Lord, we wait upon you to speak to us and ask us what you need from us. And Lord, we know that we're not alone in that too. We know that you are there with us and that you will equip us, even though we may be trembling and be fearful and afraid and want to run away. Lord, you are there with us. You are standing right by us, and we are holding your hand. Our Lord looks upon each one of us with fatherly love and understanding. He understands our fears and our anxieties and our needs. He just knows what we need, and at the right time. So Lord, as you reach out to us, help us to reach out to those in need, those that we know who need just maybe a comforting word, hand being held, an arm round the shoulder. Equip us to be brave and bold, to move when you want us to move, to speak when you need us to speak. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift those to you who are living with long-term illnesses. We lift all those who are in care homes, who are struggling with physical, emotional, and mental disabilities. We pray for those who are waiting for appointments and who are living in fear of what their condition might mean for them. Lord, we thank you for our health service, that we have one, and we're so grateful. And Lord, we pray for the pressure that all medical staff are under. And we ask you, Lord, to help, to come and heal those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Lord, we thank you for Mikey and Bethany, that they came a few weeks ago, and we just lift them up to you now in their work at the baby hospital in Liberia. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with them this day, with their family and with the community that is a bigger family to them, that they all live together and care for those in need. Lord, we particularly pray against the problems that they have at the moment with the witch doctors in the area. Lord, you are Lord in that place. You own that place. Lord, and we pray that you would drive back those witch doctors, that they will be powerless, and that your glory will be shown within that hospital, within Mikey and Bethany and the team that they have, that they exude your love, your healing power on the people that they meet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we lift up to you the people of Morocco with the earthquake. Lord, once again we ask that you will bring speedily recovery teams, doctors and nurses, food, medicines that are needed. Lord, you are there. You are there. And we praise and thank you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we turn and look home. And we pray for our many church groups. We pray for our toddler groups at All Saints and St. Andrew's. For Messy Church. For the amazing work of the Sunday schools and youth groups. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort and the words given of understanding in the Bereavement Cafe, which is a safe place. We thank you that we can grow in our life groups and have fellowship and learn understanding and then live it out and breathe it in, Lord. We thank you for your words, for your people that you surround each one of us with. And we pray for the waiting room, for that special time just to sit and come and be with you, Lord. And we pray for our young people within the youth groups. And we pray for the young people at Sky with additional needs. Lord, we pray that they will come to know you through the leaders and the helpers of that group, that they will sense that they are in the presence of you. And we pray for a good term for all of our young people and children, young adults, wherever they may be, whether it's school, college, university, Lord, that you are there. You are there with them, whether they're travelling. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for today, Lord, for our village fete. Lord, we pray that we as Christians from our churches, Lord, will be witnesses there in the church tent. We pray, Lord, that we will be able to have conversations with others that wander in and just are a bit curious as to what we really are like. Lord, we just pray that you'll open up that whole situation. And Lord, we do pray that the weather doesn't turn people away. And Lord, as we go into this coming week, Lord, we know that we are walking with you, that you are beside us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Just before we sing our final song, just a few notices. All our notices are on our mailing. If you don't get our mailing, then feel free to click on that button on our website, and you can get that sent to you each week. But a couple of things particularly. Obviously, we've got the Village Fete today. Do come down and join us there. On October the 14th, we mentioned, I think, last week, that we have a special prayer ministry training morning, which some folk from New Wine are going to come and do. And it's going to be a really special morning to learn more about what it means to have that privilege of praying for each other in services or one-to-ones at other times. There is a sign-up sheet on the back, on the table at the back, and do sign up if you're able to come. It really would be good to be able to increase the number of people who are trained to pray. If you want to know more about it, do see Susan, who knows a little bit more about that too, who's on part of the organising team. And we really would love you to come and join us. And then a couple of weeks' time, on the 24th of September, we're going to have our harvest service, which is perhaps a little bit earlier than we have had in the past. Just a bit of advance warning. We are going to have a lunch, aren't we? Patience. Yes, we are going to have a harvest lunch that day. More details will be in the mailing this week. And there'll be a chance to bring some food and produce for the food bank as well. So a bit of advance notice on that. So as we come to our final hymn today, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart, let's just stand and let's offer this week to God, that God would be our vision, that he would guide us, and that we would know his presence as our light in wherever we go this week. Let's stand if we're able. And Lord, we thank you for all these gifts and for all those others given electronically, and we offer them to your service. Would you just take them, and we pray your blessing on them for our ministry here and in our community. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Just before we say our final blessing, just if there's anything that you would like to just have prayed for you, then I'm trusting that there are going to be people who will, they are already sitting at the back and ready to pray, you know, particularly if there's something from what has been shared this morning, something that you just need to bring to Jesus with others. And please do go and receive prayer there. And so a final blessing and final words. May God the Spirit empower and transform us. May God the Son inspire us to follow him. May God the Father surround us with his love. Amen. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.